Hello everybody, it's Sam from Financial Samurai, and in this episode, we're going to talk about net worth composition by levels of wealth. There are some extremely apparent differences in the composition as one gets wealthier over time. So let me focus on the big ones. One is primary residence, two is vehicles, three is retirement, and four is business interests. And just to be clear, the different levels of net worth are 10,000, 100,000, 1 million, 10 million, 100 million, and 1 billion. So let's focus on primary residence first. In the 10,000, 100,000, and 1 million net worth range, the primary residence is the dominant asset, specifically in the $100,000 range. And this makes a lot of sense. Back in the financial crisis in 2008 and 2009, you saw a lot of people get hurt because actually their primary residence was the majority of their net worth. A lot of reports were talking about 70 to 80% of one's net worth was in primary residence. And given there was leverage and illiquidity and no demand, a lot of people had to let go of their homes to foreclosure or a short sale and therefore ruin their credit and ruin their finances for at least 5 to 7 years, I would say. So the net worth with the biggest primary residence net worth percentage is the $100,000 range. We're talking about 45%, and that goes down, down, down the wealthier you get, and that makes sense. There is no category for rent, as rent is a net worth drag. So for those of you who believe that renting is going to make you rich, it won't, because it's going to allow you to become a price taker of inflation, which is a bad thing. So with vehicles takes the biggest slice at the 10,000 net worth range, and that slice looks like about 20%, and that falls precipitously as you get to 100,000, 1 million, 10 million net worth, and so forth. Vehicles, I think, are the number one net worth killer for most Americans. I don't know why we have like this big love affair with cars that get you from point A to point B. It doesn't make sense now, especially since the median car price is around $36,000 and the median household income is $59,000. So after taxes, that $59,000 is probably around $45,000. So you're spending almost 80% to 100% of your after-tax household income on the purchase price of a new car right now. That is crazy. That is absolutely crazy, because we all know cars depreciate over time. They have maintenance issues, insurance costs, and so forth. So please don't spend more than 1/10 of your gross income on a car. I know it might be tough for some of you, but hey, there's nothing wrong with driving a $2,000 to $7,000 car. Cars nowadays are made quite well. They last much longer than the cars in the 1980s. And if you're older or you're a retiree with not as much income but a larger net worth, then you can probably splurge on maybe 1 to 5% of your net worth on a car. But that's it. And I know a lot of people hate this rule, and it's probably because it violates what you want to buy. But let me share this quote from a reader in this post and in this podcast. I took this advice to heart when I was building my business. I was making well into six figures and had a really, really old car, almost as old as me. I took the money I was making and invested it in myself and in my business assets. I caught a lot of flack from friends. Many girls definitely saw it, and I didn't have second dates. A lot of friends made substantially less than I did, yet had cars that were probably multiples of their net worth. Never understood how the average car in America costs so much, yet the average American makes so little and is, quote, struggling. Sam, this single piece of advice has made me well into the six figures, probably more. Thank you so much. That initial snowball when you're building your base of assets is critical. And I want you guys to think about building this money mindset. When you get the momentum to stop spending on things you don't need, building your asset base, building your investments, that is when you're really going to make a difference. 10 years from now, you're not even going to care about wanting to buy that fancy car anymore. And it's probably because you can buy that car with ease, without any financial distress, and you'll feel much, much better about yourself in your financial situation. All right, let's move on to retirement, which includes pension and IRA. If you have a pension, you've won the lottery. Don't underestimate the value of your pension, because it is worth a lot, especially if it ends up paying out for the rest of your life. Basically, add up the annual amount of your pension and divide it by a reasonable rate of return, and that is the value of your pension minus some kind of discount. So for example, let's say your pension pays out $100,000 a year. Divide that by, let's say, 4%, which is a reasonable rate of return. You've got $2.5 million as the value of your pension. Not bad. Well, obviously, you're not going to live forever, so let's discount that by maybe 20%. So, boom, $2 million is the value of your pension with a $100,000 annual payout. So your goal is to live as long and healthy as possible. So retirement accounts for the largest net worth percentage range in the $100,000 and $1 million net worth levels. And so what this tells me is that if you want to be a run-of-the-mill millionaire, all you've got to do is max out your IRA, max out your 401k, and you will probably get there. Once you get to the $10 million net worth range, retirements only account for, looks like about 10% to 12% of one's net worth from about 20% of one's net worth at the $1 million net worth range. I do want to mention real estate because I think a lot of us love real estate or own real estate. So real estate is classified here as real estate other than your primary residence. And what I've seen in this chart, if you click over to it, is that real estate really is not that big of a portion of one's net worth. For example, at the 100,000 level net worth, real estate is around maybe 7%. And at $1 million, that rises to about 10 to 15%, whereas it shrinks at the 10 million level to back to around 8 to 10% and then goes down from there. So what this is telling me is that real estate is also a great way to build wealth up to about $1 million to $10 million. And then after that, it just falls off. And I think I know why it falls off. It's because real estate is a pain to manage and it has a consistent wealth tax in terms of property tax and so forth. So something to think about. So finally, I want to highlight the most important asset in this survey here from the Federal Reserve. So if you want to get wealthy, then you need to focus on building your business interests. It is unbelievable how much business interests dominate net worth levels at the higher end. So for example, at 1 million, business interests looks like it's about 15%. But as you get to 10 million, it grows to about 30%. 100 million grows to about 40%. And then at the billion plus level, which probably none of us will get to, unfortunately, or fortunately, it's around 55 to 65%. There's really two ways to build business interests. One is to join a company that gives you a lot of equity in that business. So for example, the new Uber CEO is reportedly getting a compensation package of $200 million. I mean, that is crazy compared to the amount Uber drivers make, which is basically close to minimum wage. The new CEO, he didn't have to come up with the idea. He didn't have to raise funds. He didn't have to grind away for years and years and years to, you know, hopefully get this company to survive. All he had to do was be an executive at another company, get poached away, and be a good ambassador until he can sell stock 6 months after the IPO. And really, that is just unbelievable if you think about how much money he's making. Do you really think he provides that much more value than another person? No. And the current CEO of Google just sold stock for $131 million. And he's getting another $340 million package. So, if you want to be that rich, I guess you got to study hard, take risks, be a nice person, and climb up those ranks. These guys aren't very old. They're mid-40s to early 50s. If you don't want to go the executive route, you can go the harder but much more rewarding and satisfying route of creating your own business instead. This business doesn't have to be like revolutionary, you know, self-driving cars, all that stuff. Instead, you can always just focus on a lifestyle business where you build your own brand and you sell products from that brand. You know, in 2010, I asked myself really clearly, do I want to own a lifestyle business that has potential of making, let's say, $250,000 a year in free cash flow with only 3 hours of, quote, work a day and minimal stress? Or do I want to kill myself for 14 hours a day for 3 years for the chance, the 20% chance of maybe getting a $25 million payout? Maybe it's $50 million, who knows? It's a big payout. But after those 3 years, I'm left with nothing because a lot of times these type of companies that raise capital and go for glory aren't left with anything because they have so many people to answer to and so much debt to repay. And so for me, I thought it was very clear that the lifestyle business was the way to go because money doesn't buy happiness more than $250,000 at the time. It is very, very clear to me that money after a certain point is just kind of a waste and you want to use that money to help other people. Because I chronicled my happiness when I was making minimum wage, $4 an hour at McDonald's, to making more than $500,000 a year when I was in banking, and there really is not that much more happiness. And so I figured, hey, let's focus on happiness and something to do so I can leave work behind. I remember back in 2015, I was going open house hunting in Oahu, and I would just go to these really, really nice open houses that I couldn't afford at the time, because it was fun and it was free. Yes, this is the way I like to entertain myself and get myself motivated. And there was this one house that was in Black Point overlooking the ocean. It was like panoramic ocean views. And that's something I love, to see the sunset, to see the water, to hear the water, and to feel the wind in my face in 78 to 83 degree weather. I mean, that's unbelievable. And I learned more about who the seller was. And the seller was this Korean man who had been on the island for over 25 years, and he started a business. And I asked, what kind of business did he start? And he started basically a Korean fast food business that pops up in various malls and strip malls on the island. And I thought to myself, this house is asking $6.9 million. If you're a banker, if you are a lawyer, if you're a doctor, you can't afford this house, even if you're making $500,000 to $1 million a year. There's no way. The only way you can afford a $7 million house is if you become an entrepreneur and you have this huge equity stake. So I remember sitting on the balcony of this house, overlooking the ocean, thinking, man, how am I going to ever buy this house? I better build my business. And so that gave me some motivation to keep on going. So really, it's a different mindset, entrepreneurism and business building. I was talking to a very, very wealthy entrepreneur the other day, and his biggest stress is not being able to afford or keep the people here in San Francisco to work for him because housing prices have gone so high and they're going to continue to go up probably. And he said the greatest skill one can have is figuring out a way to hire talented people willing to dedicate their lives to making you rich. So these are the highly educated people, you know, who go to those great undergrads and then they go to fantastic business schools, who believe in themselves, but they don't believe in themselves enough to take the risk to be an entrepreneur. So it's all about figuring out a way to find those people to work for you. When I started Financial Samurai in 2009, I found zero personal finance blogs written by people who worked in finance. They were all written by people trying to get out of debt or by engineers trying to optimize their content for credit card signups, which I thought was really weird because you don't need more than one or two credit cards, and the interest rate on credit cards at the time were over 20% and was really, really unhelpful in building wealth. So I figured, hey, what an opportunity to fill the void. And I still think there's a void of not enough finance background folks writing about personal finance. And I think there's a void in many, many businesses. And it's up to you to identify that void and fill it. Nobody's talking about quitting your job and starting a business that you hope will survive and thrive. I'm talking about starting a side business, tinkering with it while you have your job so that if it fails, you can just reiterate and figure something else out instead of starve on the streets. I really believe the people who get extremely wealthy are those who ask themselves, why not me too? They believe they deserve to be rich as much as the other fella making $150 million running their company into the ground with that nice exit package. There's so much money out there in the world, folks. It's up to you to take it. So focus on building some business interests if you want to get truly wealthy. It's not going to happen overnight. It will take time. But once that momentum grows, it is an amazing, amazing experience. Thanks so much for listening.